I don't mean the pictures. What I wanted to do is take a look at the first Reb Chaim, and maybe we could do even a little bit more than that, and get a picture of Reb Chaim's Derech Aliyah. But already at the beginning of the Sefer, I think he helps us with that. So of course the Rambam seems to omit a sugya in Sanhedrin, and we learn a lot from an omission of the Rambam. The sugya in Sanhedrin establishes that with regard to the three averos chamuros and the halacha of yeharig val yavar, there's one exception, and that's gili arayos. And in the case of gili arayos, the Gemara applies the principle karka olam, which means the Gemara there is discussing Esther, that how would she be able to have a relationship with Achashverosh? She was married to Mordechai, according to one opinion. So the Gemara says that Esther is different because she's Karka Olam. And that means, just in the most simple formulation, it means that she's not actively involved in the action. The Rambam doesn't mention this at all. The Rambam in Perkei Milchus Yisoriya Torah, he speaks about the fact that although for Shara Averos the din is Yav HaVayal Yehoreg, when it comes to Gili Arayish V'chazdomen Avodah Zorah, the Rambam says Yarog V'al Yehoreg V'al Yavar. And the Rambam doesn't mention any exception to the rule. You know, you can't expect that the Rambam will rely on us to know the sugya that in the case of Gila Arayos is an exception to the rule. You know, we're dealing with a life and death issue here. The Rambam should point out that there's a difference between the male and the female. And the stimas loshen Rambam, the fact that Rambam is kolel, that for this avera there's no din of v'chaibah, and there's no din that you know the sacred nature of and significance of life. You get the impression from the Rambam that he completely drops this halacha of karka olam. And Reb Chaim points out that it's not only the Rambam, there are other Rishonim that also omit karka olam. And the reason for that is because if you take a look carefully in the sugya, you'll see that the sugya presents the shita of Rava and the shita of Abaye. Both come to answer the question about Esther. And although Abai presents the position of Karka Olam, Rava says, Hanos Atzmon Shaini, that Achashverosh is not interested in having Esther violate her religion. He doesn't know anything about her religion. He doesn't know that she's Jewish. He's interested in his own pleasure. Now, here we make a difference between what's called Bitsina and Befarhesia. In the case of Befarhesia, the Gemara vacillates back and forth when, under what circumstances, you have to give up your life before Hesia. But in the case of Bitsina, there, the Gemara doesn't make any distinction about Lanos Atzman or not Lanos Atzman. In other words, if there's a violation of one of the three Averos Chamuros, then even in the case of Tzina, you have to give up your life. But the Gemara was bothered by the following. Let's assume that Esther was not married to Mordechai. Then this case of Achashverosh fits not under Gili Arayos, but rather under what's called Shara Averos. Now, in the case of Shara Averos, the halacha depends upon the following two paragraphs. Paragraph number one is that generally speaking it's Yavar V'al Yehoreg in Shara Mitzvahs. Then we have paragraph number two, Bamed Var Amur Bitsina, but before Hesia, even for Shara Mitzvahs, you have to give up your life. So the Gemara analyzes Esther from the perspective of Farhesia. That's the Gemara's language. For Esther Farhesia Havi, that everybody knew about the fact that she was having a relationship with Achashverosh. For that purpose, he married her, he took her as his queen. On that, Rava says, Hanos Atzman Shaini, which means that although the case of Esther fits into Shara Averos, it's not Gili Arayos, for one of two reasons. either because Esther was not married to Mordechai, or because of Bias Akum, that a guy's Bias is not considered a Bias of Gilui Arayos. It comes on the Shar Averus. It's not really Gilui Arayos. So whatever, that's not for us today, but just, well, you know, for our working premise as we go on, as we move forward, whatever the reason is, Esther is not a case of Gilui Arayos, but rather a case of Shar Averos Befarhesia.
Is that what we pass?
So the question is, how do we pass? So it works like this. In the case of Gilui Arayos Mamish, there, it's irrelevant whether it was Bitsina, whether it was Befarhesia, whether it was Lanos Atzmon, whether it was Lavur El Das, whatever the conditions are, when it's real, 100% Gilui Arayos, then the law is that you have to give up your life. And there's no heter of v'chai bahem in the case of Gilui Arayos. If, on the other hand, it's Shar Averos, here we're going to paskin like Rava, that if it's Bitsina, you don't have to give up your life, and then it's Yavar V'Al Yehorg. If it's Befar Hesya, you'll have to give up your life, but only on the condition that what? That it's Lavuri Al Das. Now, what about Esther, according to the Madiyama, that it was Gilui Arayos? So if we accept the following two premises, then we really have to come up with an answer to this question. Number one, if we assume that Esther was in fact married to Ahasuerus, and if you assume that Gilui Arayos applies to Mordechai, I'm sorry, and if you assume number two, that even Bias Akum is considered a Bia, the Torah recognized that as a valid Bia, which makes it into Gilui Arayos, then we only have one answer for the question of Esther, because both conditions are met over here. If you assume she was married to Mordechai, and you assume that Bias Akum Shmei Bia, then your only option is what Abai says, and that's Karka Olam Shiny.
Karka Olam does not apply to the thing of Arayos, just to Chilul Hashem?
Correct, because... Wait a second, it depends. If you're all like Rava, then the pashas would be that Karka Olam is not going to help you for Gilui Arayos. It's only going to help you for Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem in Farhesia on the Shar Averos. But Abaye mentions Karka Olam, and you're not sure. This is what the Rishonim are going to vacillate about. Is Abaye mentioning Karka Olam only because he thinks it's Farhesia and it's Shar Mitzvahs? Or would Abaye go a step further and assume that Karka Olam is a mitigating circumstance, even in a case of Gilui Arayos Mamish? Meaning, even if I assume that A, she was married to Mordechai, and B, the Bias Akum Shmei Bia, still Abaye is going to operate with the heter of Karka Olam. And many Rishonim, therefore, will paskin that there was, you know, that Rava would never have rejected Abaye and argued with Abaye if it would have been a case of Gilui Arayos, meaning Rava only introduced his svara of Hanos Atzman Shaini because he was working with the premise that it's not Gilui Arayos. Had it been Gilui Arayos, then Rav himself would not argue with Abaye. He would accept Karka Olam. And that, as we'll soon see, is the sheet of Tosfos. But the Rambam, on the other hand, and the Baal HaMor as well, they omit Karka Olam. They don't think that Karka Olam is a mitigating circumstance at all in Gilui Arayos. They're only going to approach Esther from the perspective of Shar Averos. And had Esther actually been Gilui Arayos, then Karka Olam would not be a mitigating circumstance. So the question is why? In other words, Reb Chaim here wants to analyze the Shitas HaRambam, who foregoes, or I don't know what word to use, he ignores the principle of Karka Olam and Gilui Arayos. And in order to defend the Rambam, you're going to have to answer up Tosfos. Why? Because Tosfos has a very strong proof that indeed Karka Olam should be a mitigating circumstance in Gilui Arayos. So again, just to give you the technicalities here, David, I'll get to your question in just a second. If we're talking about Farhesia, then the Gemara is not so sure about Karka Olam. Because since Farhesia, the Machayim Farhesia is not what we call the Chumras HaVeira as much as it's Chil Hashem, as Sam mentioned before. And the Gemara doesn't think that Chil Hashem should be offset, or that it should be a mitigating circumstance because of Karka Olam. If everyone knows that she's violating this terrible Avera, and it's public knowledge, then don't operate with Karka Olam. You should operate, says Rava, with Hanas Atzvan Shaini. But now the question that we want to address is, would Karka Olam help us to mitigate in the case of Gili Arayis Mamish? Tosus assumes that there never was a debate between Abai Varava about the principle of Gili Arayis with regard to, I'm sorry, the principle of Karka Olam, I meant to say, with regard to Gili Arayis. Tosus says even Rava accepted the opinion of Abaye that Gili Arayis would be mitigated by Karka Olam. Oh, but the issue is Farhesia. Here's where Rava got very upset, that since Esther was a case of Farhesia, here Rava got up and he said, I don't agree with you, Abaye, that Karka Olam should in any way diminish the responsibility of Yehareg Val Yava, because now we're talking about a whole different set of rules and regulations. You're talking about Chil Hashem of Farhesia, and the fact that she was Karkolim is not going to mitigate that halacha. What could mitigate the halacha is, and that's where Rava comes up with this principle of Hanas Atzman Shani. David?
What is Karkolim, please?
Karkolim means passivity, that she doesn't do an action. Okay. Now, what was Tosus' proof that Karka Olam should definitely operate even with regard to Gila Rites? Which basically means that if a woman is passive, she doesn't have to give up her life, even in the case of Gila Rites. So Tosus makes the following point. When we list three averas for which you have to give up your life, we should not equate all three of them. Because two out of the three, let me say it the other way, one out of the three at least, has a yalfusa from which we derive that you have to give up your life. Does anybody know which one of the three I have in mind?
Misa.
No, I'm saying, in which of the three averos do I have a source that I have to give up my life?
Avodah Zarah.
That's what you said? I'm sorry.
I meant the Kal v'Chomer.
Yeah. No, but we're not up to the Kal v'Chomer, because the Kal v'Chomer is when we get to Ritzicha, yeah, and then Gila Rice. But I'm saying, which of the three has an explicit Yalfusa that you have to give up your life? The only one of the three is Avodah Zarah. Because the Gemara Darshan's the Pasuk B'chol Nafshecha, filu who know tell us nafshecha, that you have to love God and not give up your love of God for the sake of saving your life, and that's b'chol nafshecha. Filu who know tell us nafshecha. Oh, now we get to the Kal v'Chomer. The Gemara asks, Ritzicha minayin? How do we know that if someone puts a gun to you and says, you kill him or I'll kill you, that you have to allow yourself to be killed rather than kill him? So the Gemara says that's a svara. There is no yalfusa for that. That's called the famous ma'ichazus. Okay, we'll just go over this. I know it's coming out of your ears, but it doesn't matter if we go over it. It says ma'ichazus the damach the dav sumach tvei dilma damach the chavret sumach tvei. How do you know you're red? Your blood is redder than his. Maybe his blood is redder than yours. So therefore, to go ahead and kill him in order to save your life, it doesn't make any sense. Because you cannot make that determination. You'd have to be the divine being himself to determine that your life is redder than his. The Gemara says, Gili Arayis Minolan. And the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, Ki Kasha Yakum, Olam, no, Kain Yasid Amar said, just like in the case of a rape situation, a woman is not held responsible.
Just like a murder.
Like in the case of a murder. So just like in murder, the murder victim is just a victim, so too in the case of Gili Arayis, she is a victim, and therefore La Nara Los Hasadovra, we cannot punish her. So the Gemara says that this establishes a hekesh between two different averas, the avera of Ritzicha and the aver of gili arayis. So the Gemara says it proves in two directions: the davar lomed and davar nilmed. So gili arayis is going to be derived from Ritzicha, that just like in Ritzicha the victim is a victim, and so too in Gilei Arayis she's a victim. And now the Gemara is going to say that
if she's willing.
Oh, and now the Gemara is going to say that so too we have an equation between Ritzicha and Gilei Arayis, that just like in the case of Ritzicha you're not allowed to kill someone to save your life, so too you're not allowed to submit yourself for the Avera of Gilei Arayis. Wait, I get. Give me just one second.
First point.
And then you have to give up your life for that. This comes along toast, and he says what the Gemara means to say is that just like in Ritzicha, you cannot kill someone actively to save your life. So too in Ritzicha, in Gilei Arayis, you cannot actively pursue Gilei Arayis in order to save your life. What would be if your Gilei Arayis situation was passive? So Tos says, well, let's go back to Ritzicha. What would be in a case of passive Ritzicha? Does anybody here, can anyone here tell me what passive Ritzicha is? So, how do you kill someone passively?
Let them throw you off.
So Tos says, allow us to throw you off the top of a roof, and your body will kill a baby on its way going down. And the law is that Tos says, in such a case, you don't have to give up your life. You're allowed to submit yourself to be thrown from the roof rather than die. Why? Because my chaz is the domach lidach. I can't say whose blood is redder than whom. And at the end of the day, I have to be passive. I can't take the law into my hands and make that determination, make that decision. And so too, Gilei Arayis, which is derived from Ritzicha, I can't make the decision, and therefore I'm passive. So in the case of a male, let's assume he's active, he has to give up his life. He's like the rotzeach in the active sense. But in the case of the female, since she's karka olam, that's what Tosa says, therefore she doesn't have to give up her life. She's basically passive, and whatever happens, happens. And by the way, this is not for us today, but the Meiri makes a comment here on that sugyan dafayim dalad in Sanhedrin, that if a woman would have to go towards a man, or in some way at least actively pursue the act of Gilei Arayis, Enochinami, she too would have to give up her life. So now, Reb Chaim understands that since the Rambam didn't make this distinction whatsoever, there was no footnote in the Rambam that said, when do you have to give up your life for Gilei Arayis? Only if you're actively involved in the action, but Karka Olam Shaini. So Reb Chaim understands for the omission of the Rambam that he holds like the Baal Amor, that there's no din of Yehari Val Yava for a woman who's passive. So Reb Chaim says, but what's the Rambam going to do with Tosis' logic? In other words, the whole basis for the din of Yehari Val Yava in the case of Gilei Arayis is the equation to Ritzicha. And Dayal of Oven Adin, you know, you can't go beyond the Malamed. The Malamed itself is Ritzicha. In the case of Ritzicha, if you were passive, Tosus says, that's not a violation of the Svar of my Chazis, and therefore you would not have to give him your life. You would allow to submit yourself and to agree to have yourself thrown on the baby because you're passive, and therefore the Gilei Arayis would have to be no worse than Ritzicha. And therefore the Rambam again should have accepted the position of the Baal Yad Tosfos that in the case of Gilei Arayis, even Rava would agree that Karka Olam Shaini, and she would not have to give up her life if she's passive. And the only debate between Rava and Abayi is about the case of Farhesia and Sharavers, where it's not real Gilei Arayis if we assume that Esther was not married or that Biasaku Lavshmei Bia. So Reb Chaim, in order to defend his understanding of the Shitas of Rambam, and it's certainly the Shita of other Rishonim, Reb Chaim has a kash on the Rambam. I'm sorry, he has a kash on Tosfos. He doesn't understand the logic of Tosfos. I'll read to you his right. He says, Tzorech im b'divrei Tosfos, the bottom right if you're following it inside. He says, I don't get it. What is the case of Mashlichen Osalatinok? Obviously, I can accept that, but that has nothing to do with Gilei Arayis. Tosfos has no case here to base himself on the case of the Tinoch, where he allows himself to be thrown on the Tinoch, he says, in the case of the Tinoch, Holo Havi Ella Ke'even V'Eitz V'Yada Rotzeach Shemashlich Oso. I call this the human cannon theory. You remember the, you know, in the old circuses or whatever it was, they used to put a body into a cannon and shoot him out. He says, basically, there is a Rotzeach here, but it's not you. In other words, if they throw you on the baby, they're doing the act of Ritzich. You're just a piece of something heavy, you know, a stone, he calls it, an Evan Biada Zorik, Biada Mashlich. Umisha Mashlich also, who are Rotzeach? Is therefore Lahochi Lochayv Lim Soras Atzmodos. You're not doing a Maisa Ritzich, you're not even doing a passive Ritzich. We have a Rotzeach. Will the real Rotzeach please stand up? We know who the Rotzeach is. We can identify the Rotzeach. He's the one who's throwing you on the baby. You're a stone. Again, morally, ethically, you could say, oh, lo samen al dam reacha, you know, but in terms of the avera of Ritzicha, you're in no way in violation of the avera of Ritzicha.
So there is no instance of passive Ritzicha then?
That's what it seems, that the way Reb Chaim is saying it, to derive passive Gilui Arayos from passive Ritzicha, and Tosfos' mechanics, his paradigm is that you get thrown onto the baby, and therefore we're going to derive from that in Gilui Arayos, if the mice is being done to you.
Yeah, but that's based upon, by the Ritzicha, it's based on Machazis. What is machasis? There's no shaitis at all.
Yeah, okay, so we'll get to that in a minute, but just let's focus, you know, Alan's raising a whole very important sugya to itself. What does machasis have to do with Gilui Arayos? But before we get to that, I just want to point out that Tosfos is coming under a major attack over here. And If you know, it's very nice that Reb Chaim wants to defend the Rambam, but he really has made Tosfos into a, pardon the expression, the laughingstock of the nation here, because there's no logic here in Tosfos. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes you want to answer a kasha and defend, let's say in this case, the Rambam against Tosfos. That's fine and dandy. But you can't make the kasha into something that's antithetical to human logic here. And that's what Reb Chaim seems to be doing. Meaning, what I'm trying to say is that it's great to be loyal to the Rambam. You know, we really profess our loyalty to the Rambam, but not at the expense of making Tosfos into something that doesn't make any sense at all. And at some point, we're going to have to come back and rearrange our troops, so to speak, in a way that we can understand Tosfos. Because what Reb Chaim is saying about the Rambam is the following. Tosfos is equating two different cases that have nothing to do with each other. So I'm going to try to add a little bit of my own here, just to embellish what I think Reb Chaim has in mind. There's a Gemara in Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Hey, that asks the following question. Why is a woman, in the case of Gilui Arayos, the Torah says that she's put to death? Why is she put to death? The Gemara asks. I mean, she's not active. You know, every Avera that requires or generates a punishment in Beis Din requires an action. Most of Masechta Makos is built on that premise. So why is a woman put to death? So the Gemara answers, it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'nichrasu hanefashos ha'osos," and the Gemara says that the Torah considered a woman in all of these immoral actions to be considered a nefesh ha'osa, even though technically, you know, if you take a picture of the reality, she's passive, but nevertheless, the Torah considered her as a nefesh ha'osa. So let's assume for the time being that just like in Ritzicha, in the classical active case of Ritzicha, there's a Maisa, so too in Gilui Arayos, she, no less than he, is considered to have been involved in a Maisa. Okay, so Reb Chaim says that now we can embark on understanding the equation that Tosfos has between Ritzicha and Gilui Arayos. That just like in Ritzicha, the halacha requires that you give up your life rather than violate Ritzicha. So to Gilui Arayos, both he and she would have to give up their life rather than violate the Iser of Gilui Arayos. Says Reb Chaim, and here's where we have to work very hard to understand Tosis, because here at this point Reb Chaim has the upper hand, so to speak. And he says that Tosis is making a big boo-boo here. Tosis is saying that if they force you to be thrown on the baby, that's like the case of passive Ritzicha, and in its parallel, the derivative, which is passive Gidarayas, she would not have to give up her life. And therefore, Karkol must be accepted. Frank Reb Chaim, I don't understand what Tosis is talking about. In the case of passive Ritzicha, there is no Ritzicha. There is a Ritzicha, but someone else is the Rotzeach. Who's the Rotzeach?
The pusher.
Correct, the Mashlich, not the one who submitted and defended and, so to speak, protected his life by saying, okay, throw me on the Tino. There is a Rotzeach. If you want to give me a case that's parallel to Gili Arayas, give me a case where there is a violation of Ritzicha, but since it was a Karka Olam, a passive violation of Ritzicha, you don't have to give up your life. Tosis has not successfully come up with such a mechanics, because the case of Tosis is not where you violate Ritzicha but passively, but that you don't violate Ritzicha at all.
But that's a little far to say that Tosis is saying that, because it's possible to say that by being passive, that's not enough to get you out from being a murderer, because you know they're going to use your body to kill him. You have to resist, maybe.
That doesn't make you into a rotzeach, though, Al. And again, you know, there are all sorts of moral issues here about lo samen al dam reacha, but with all due respect, that's not ritzicha.
Are you saying there is no such concept as passive ritzicha, period?
Well, that's Sam, that's going to be the punchline of my discussion. I don't want to give away the punchline. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we're going to lead up to that. But I'm just saying, certainly the case of Tosfos is not passive Ritzicha. There is a Rotzeach. It's just that you're not the Rotzeach.
Well, isn't the person being pushed, reversing it? Isn't he like Kaka Eilam being pushed as a Ritzicha?
No, but again, in Gili Arayas Kakol, it means she violates the Avera of Gili Arayas. You want to tell me she doesn't have to give up her life because she's Kakol? Maybe you're right, but prove it to me. Tos says, I have a proof. Why? Because you're allowed to be thrown on the Tino. Allowed to be thrown on the Tino? That's not a case where you're in violation of the Avera of Lo Sirta, and we're going to mitigate because you were passive. That's a case where you're not in violation of Ritzich at all. We have a Rotzeach. If you come up with a case,
you're involved in the Meister, because you're having contact with the baby.
Then you reject Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim holds that you're a stone. You're just a stone. Use me as a stone.
It's the same.
All it is my weight. That's all. I'm not doing any Ritzicha whatsoever.
The scene where somebody tells a Jew, "I'm going to throw this brick on the baby." Okay, but if you stop me, I'm going to kill you. That's so, the same scene, because the fact that they're throwing a brick is irrelevant.
Correct, and therefore it's not Ritzicha at all. The fact that I'm not going to stop you from Ritzicha, that's not Ritzicha on my part. You're Ritzicha. I could have stopped you, and then you're morally responsible to stop someone, but that doesn't make you into a violator of Lo Sirta. Come up with a case, says Reb Chaim, I challenge you to come up with a case of Ritzicha, where he violates the Ritzicha, but he does it passively, and then you're going to tell me, oh, there's no violation of the Svara of my Chazis, therefore you don't have to give up your life, because somehow you pulled off a violation of Lo Sirta passively, and therefore you don't have to give up your life. And then I'll derive the conclusion that in Gilead Rice, when she violates Hanafashos Ha'osos, the Gili Arayas Avera, she did it passively, and then she doesn't have to give up her life. But first, prove to me in Ritzicha that you can come up with a case where there is a violation of Ritzicha, you don't have to give up your life because you were passive. But that case of Tosis is not a good case.
Is he assuming that the man is not going to die when he falls over and lands on the baby? Is he not the assumption?
Yeah, you're right. Right. The baby's going to cushion his fall. He'll survive. The baby will be crushed to death.
Okay.
And he's allowed to submit that because he's Karkol. Says Reb Chaim, has nothing to do with the fact that he's Karkol. Has to do with the fact that there's no Avera of Ritzicha.
It seems to me there's no such thing as passive any activity. It's only a revusa and arayas that a woman is considered that she's doing the action. But there's no passive eating, there's no passive nothing, no passive drinking. There's no passive act. You can't. How do you ever have a passive act? There's no passive act. Over here, there's a special Xeris HaKosov that if a woman participates passively in sexuality, we're going to call her that she's participating. But otherwise, there is no passive anything. Not just Ritzicha. I can't think of anything that's passive that you're doing. I'm letting somebody do something. I'm passive.
I agree with everything you say, Sam, but I don't know why that's going to defend the Tosus.
No. I'm just saying that it's... You're saying, oh, in Ritzicha there's no Yalfu, so there is no passive activity, period, ever.
Well,
except in this one case.
She could pull him out to her.
That's not passive, that's active.
So I'm saying
passive activity is an oxymoron, except over here there's a special Xeris HaKosov that we're going to consider a woman who was passive in sexuality to call her that she's committing this sin. But
right.
Otherwise, passive activity means
nothing. But yeah, I'm trying to figure out, Sam, what... You know, in everything that we've said, where are you...
Because it sounds to me like you're having a discussion just around Ritzicha. I'd say passive for nothing. For Tvila, Lusdavil, nothing is passive.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, I'm only using Ritzicha because that's the case. I don't know.
Fine.
You're right. I mean, how can you have something that's active and passive at the same time? It's like you say, an oxymoron. So here we have, which again, you know, when Reb Chaim was published, we didn't have it, but we have the comments of the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish claims that there is such a thing as passive Ritzicha. That you could violate Lo Sirtzach of passive. And in such a case, would you have to give up your life or would you not? Again, you're going to have to assume, according to the Chazon Ish, that Tosus had this in mind, although the case that Tosus, you know, evokes here is not really the case that the Chazon Ish mentions. Okay, so what's the Chazon Ish's case? This is a fascinating case. He says that you have climbed up to the top of a roof, and the wind is going to blow you off the roof. So the Chazon Ish claims that that's called passive Ritzicha, meaning you violate Lo Sirtzach, but it's passive. So now the guy comes along and puts a gun to your head, and he says the following: stay put exactly where you are, or I'll kill you. You know full well, again, all the facts on the ground are clear. If you stay put, the wind, it's a normal velocity wind, roof mitzuya, blah, 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 is going to push you over. What makes you a rotzeach? And here the Chazon Ish insists that you will be considered a rotzeach. That's a sugya bava kama, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish, which is called isho mishum chitzov. And isho mishum chitzov means that if you place an object in a position that is going to be damaging something by a wind that pushes that object out, it's called avno v'sakino maso shenicha v'rosh gago v'noflu b'ruch mitzuya, then your chayv as an adam amazik is considered your action. Oh, says the Chazon Ish that in this case you would not have to give up your life. Why? Because even though you're violating the iser of ritzicha and you're a rotzeach, but nevertheless it's karka olam. What does it mean karka olam? That you're not doing a thing. Once you're situated on top of the roof, then wind will come and blow you over. You become a rotzeach, but you haven't lifted a finger. Where did you not lift a finger? That's when you climbed up to the top of the roof. So the Chazon Ish claims as follows: if the guy says to you, climb up to the top of the roof or I'll kill you,
like that,
then it would be Yehar Gval Yavar, you'd have to give up your life. But Tosus wants to point out that if you're already situated on top of the roof and the guy forces you to stay put, so that now you'll kill the baby, in such a case you're allowed to stay put, you're allowed to allow the baby die, you will violate the Isur Tzicha based on a principle called Isho Mishum Chitzav, but you're karka olam. Therefore, we could derive Gideraias from this matrix, from this paradigm case. And Gideraias, likewise, even though she's in violation of the Isur of Gideraias, since she was Karka Olam, she does not have to give up Olam.
I have a logic problem here, okay? I woke up on the roof because I want to take a walk, okay?
Give me a minute.
I don't know anything about it. And then this guy shows up and says, stand over here because there's a nor'easter coming and I want to kill this kid, okay? That to me is not called passive nothing. That's called somebody's taking advantage of me, telling me not to do something. My scene is better. If a guy tells you go up on the roof because the wind is coming soon, that's passive for Sikha.
Okay, so yeah, I'm sorry, I have to shut this off. Jeez. What do you see that I don't
see? Yours.
No, oh, it's mine. Oh,
it's got the wrong culprit, but it's okay.
It's an emergency. Kill it. This is an emergency, but I'm going to go back.
So let's see Reb Chaim inside, and let's see. He says the following. V'nira de kavana satosus kachi. The cave of the Rotzeh, who misvar the maichos is the damach the doch im kain gam im yia meshkachiron. If we can find the case, the Yehiva said din Rotzeh, rak the lowly evid maisa is gam kain loye chayav limsar atzmo. So if you could find a case where he would be a Rotzeh, but without a maisa. Ein olchayev limsar zatzma. That's the logic of Tosfos. The motzi omar adarav my chosid the domet the chavrei sumach tvei dimu domet the di sumach tvei came into low covid my sum came who had din benarim urasa the alfina mirotzeach is after veres al gili arise but came into low covid the ma'isa she doesn't do an act ein ba hach dina the tehoreg the altav. Okay, then so here's again just to summarize. Reb Chaim's explanation or justification of Tosis's logic, if you would find a case, which the Chazanish claims he found, where you're a Rotzeach, but you didn't do a Maisa, then the law would be you don't have to give up your life, somebody will perish, because we don't have the opposite way of saying that that person's blood is redder than yours, just be passive. And the equation here, the derivation is now to Gila Raya's in a case where she doesn't do a Maisa. Okay, so now at this point we have Tosis's logic, and now we have to understand the Rambam. He says the following:
Hello, you buy the Chazal Nish that that's called a Maisa.
I honestly, Sam, you have to go through the Chazal Nish word for word. If we have time, I'll do that. I don't know if it's the. I was assuming it was the case where you're already on the roof, you're saying no, he has to move from one place on the roof to another place.
No, climb up and tell him climb up on the roof because I want the wind to kill this kid.
Right, right. So he's saying if he's telling you to move from one place,
stand up.
If he tells you to move from one place,
stay here,
one place of the roof to the other place,
do something to get
it. Would still be Ritzich B'Shei V'Altasen.
Okay.
He's forcing me to open up the Chazanish, which I didn't want to do.
What are you looking for? Why did they say
I found it?
What did they say my fuzz is? It is a tinok, and he's not even any mitzvahs, and the man is.
Oh, the ilu olo l'rosh hagag kidei sheyipo beruach mitzuya alatinok v'argenu choshev rotzeh.
He himself.
Eino chayav misa. Okay, fine. That's something else. Mikol mekom aperes utzicha yeshkan. The ilu omer lo ale alagag v'tipol alatinok v'im eincha ole nehargucha izen yehorg al yava. If they say to him, move from one place to the other, otherwise we'll kill you, then in such case the din would be yehorg al yava. He doesn't have to. Oh, he has to give up his life, right? Because then he moves from one place to the other. So I thought that would be passive ritzicha. He's saying that's active ritzicha.
No, it's passive.
So why is he saying
Yehard Ba'yavar? I'm passive. That's the scene that they get Yehard Ba'yavar.
No, again, he's explaining Tosis. Tosis says that the din is that if you're passive, we don't apply the principle of Yehard Ba'yavar.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
You put yourself there.
You say to me, well, if you push me
in then,
this spot over here, I'm going to miss the
kid. That would be active for the
right. Let me help you.
Here he says explicitly. Vim Eno Eitz Alatinok. Or the ruach says then Yehorig Val Yavar, even though it'll be passive, but since he has to get up there actively, so that's enough to make him into an active rotzeh. So it seems to me that the only case he's talking about where it's passive mitzvah is where he's already there. That's, so you'll take
more. Why the difference than this? That's Tosfos's.
No, but he quotes the halacha of Isho Mishum Chitza.
What does he say? What did they say?
All right, wait, 1 second. We're both saying. Let me just because okay. I do want to get to a certain point today. Okay. So maybe if you want, we can pick this up again tomorrow if you like. But so he says the following: Berotzeach Gufa Sarach Iyun Bozeh. Says Tosis assumes that you can certainly apply the principle of Karka Olam to Rotzeach. The MS Yesh Lefarish Maidik Omer B'Gemara Hach Svar Demai Chaz the Domot Yidok Dumot Tvei Dilma Domot Yidchavrech Sumot Tvei Betray Gavne. There are two explanations to what the Gemara means by Mai Chaz. Oh, here's the first explanation. Neymar the came of the shkulim hem shneim. He says you can't decide which of the two individuals is more dear in the eyes of the Almighty. Al came in mela havidina the tzarch lios b'shevi altas. We saw a similar svar in Rebbe Chanan about yesh kof yad chachamim, that on the one hand the rabbanim tell you not to wear tzitzis on your beged shel pish. On the other hand, the Torah says to wear it. So what do? You do nothing, right? That was Rebbe Chanan. I think he got it from here, from this line of Rebbe Chaim. Rebbe Chaim was his Rebbe. So it says here that you don't know what to do, because how can you make a determination which life? So therefore, Shevi Altas said, do nothing. That's his first explanation. Oh. The name of the cave of the shkulim him. Memela ain't on nidches mipnei pikuach nefesh. What does he mean by ain't on nidches? You know, there's a pronoun here which I'd like to just fill in.
He's the one that's being. He needs to say.
Well, ain't on nidches, right? So there's a word here that's missing, which I'd like to just fill in. No, he's not up to Arayis yet.
No,
again, he's El Berotzeh Gufa Tzarech Iyun Bozeh, right? So he's going back to the original, to Rotzeh. So I think these words, Eino Nidches, is he's talking about Averis Ritzicha in Nidches.
Right.
So this is fascinating. In the first understanding of Reb Chaim, he's saying this V'chai Bohem for Reuven who's being threatened, and there's V'chai Bohem for Shimon who's going to be victimized. Right. There's two V'chai Bohems. I don't know what to do with these two V'chai Bohems. Each V'chai Bohem in and of itself would be enough to override the Iser Ritzicha. Meaning, if you could imagine violating the Iser Ritzicha without killing anybody, you have a very abstract mind for that, right? Then you would violate the Iser Ritzicha, despite the fact that Ritzicha is one of the Gibel Averis Chaburis. The only reason I subsume Ritzicha under the Gimel Averis Chaburis, why does it deserve membership in that club, is not because I have neutralized V'chai Bohem, but because I'm going to kill somebody else. So what about his V'chai Bohem? But if Lui Yitzura could have a violation of, if I can imagine in some abstract world, I'm responsible for his V'chai Bohem no less than my V'chai Bohem. Yes. I am, because the Torah wants to save human life.
I'm giving commandments, but don't violate the commandments if it's going to end up killing you.
No, if anybody gets killed, right? That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Rashi says this. Rashi says, what's my chazus? My chazus means you don't know which nefesh is to apply V'chai Bohem to. They're both equal. So that's Reb Chaim's first approach. So again, in the first approach of Reb Chaim, you could violate Ritzicha.
Right.
Why do you violate Ritzicha? Because Ritzicha, like any other Aveir in the Torah, lends itself to V'chai Bohem, which is Matir the Isur Ritzicha. The only problem is that I have another Nefesh. And Ein Dochin Nefesh V'nei Nefesh. I can't choose one Nefesh over the other. That's Reb Chaim's first approach. Oh, Dilma, Reb Chaim says in his second approach, Kevan Deshkulim Heim, is Memela Ein Averis Ritzicha, meaning those two words, Nidches V'nei Pikuach Nefesh. Now Reb Chaim is completely removing Pikuach Nefesh. In that sense, in Reb Chaim's second approach, he's equating Ritzich with what?
With Ritzicha.
With Avodah Zarah. Are you with me? Both, so we started that discussion with Avodah Zarah. The Torah says in the case of Avodah Zarah, Bechol Nafshecha, it means that there's no V'chaibahem in the case of Avodah Zarah. Now Reb Chaim is suggesting that there's no V'chaibahem in the case of Ritzicha.
How can you say that?
How can you say that? Because he's saying, "Kevah the shkulim heim v'meila eino nidches v'mei pikuach nefesh."
But Zara is from a pasuk.
Again, but he's saying that the svar is just as good as a pasuk. The Torah all over the place. The Ibai same as Kray, Ibai same as svar. But Chaim is claiming that this svar of my chazes is teaching me what we know from B'chol Nafshecha and Avodah Zarah that Eino Nidches V'mei Pikuach Nefesh.
Why would they use the example of a tinok then? Is that very strange?
Wait a minute, we're not up to tinok yet. But again, we're trying to understand, is there a difference between Kumva Seh and Shevi Al Tase? So Reb Chaim says it depends. If you're talking about V'chaibahem times two, meaning there is V'chaibahem to be Docher Ritzicha, but the only problem is I can't snub him out because he also has a claim to V'chaibahem. So then Reb Chaim says, well, I'm passive. I'm not making this decision. I'm going to just use my V'chaibahem. Yeah, it's his. He's got his tzara, let him yell and scream V'chaibahem, but I'm doing nothing. I didn't make any determination. Yeah, but if you're going to tell me, let me backtrack a little. Lo yitzur, you had a violation of the Avera of Avodah Zarah in a Shevi Al Tase. What would be the din?
In a Shevi Al Tase.
Don't think about a case. Just be perfectly abstract. If Lo yitzur, I would come up with a case of a violation of Avodah Zarah, the Shevi Al Tase, what would be the din?
You'd be puttered.
Yehari Val Yavar, you'd have to give up your life.
Why?
Because there's no V'chaibahem with regard to Avodah Zorah. The Torah has placed Avodah Zorah above V'chaibahem. That's called B'chol. Has nothing to do with what you're doing. The Torah is saying that there's no V'chaibahem with regard to Avodah Zorah. Because it says B'chol Levavcha. Afilu notels Nafshecha. There are certain Averis that are more severe than V'chaibahem. So B'chaim is now offering a suggestion that not only is Avodah Zorah more severe than V'chaibahem, but even Ritzicha is more severe than V'chaibahem.
To say that.
Oh, Dilma, that's, I'm going to read it again for the third time. Kevan de shkulim heim, memela ein averis ritzicha nidches v'pnei pikuach nefesh. My nafkevina, says Reb Chaim, v'ein chiluk bein shevi al tasel amaisi v'yadayim. Dili olam ein ba, with regard to ritzicha, din dechia. U'memela v'idina de'yehorek v'yava b'chol gavnei. Gamber etzicha b'shevi al taseh.
I see that.
Ve'gamber etzicha gufa im haisa b'shevi al taseh. Be'gavne sheyesh ba din etzicha. It means averes etzicha. Gam kein amrinon yehareg val yavor. You know, the svara here of my chazis is not just, well, you know what, we have two nefashas shkulos, we don't know how to make this decision, we don't have determination, let destiny take its course. No! Reb Chaim is offering a second suggestion. This is much more far-reaching. That when you have a case of a head-on collision between two v'chaibahems, then the Torah is saying there is no v'chaibahem. It's not that you have two v'chaibahems and you have to determine which one is greater than which. No. Each v'chaibahem neutralizes the other v'chaibahem, and there is no v'chaibahem. And if I go back to Lo Sirtzach, when do you suspend Lo Sirtzach or any aver in the Torah? Only when there's an application of v'chaibahem. But if there's no application of v'chaibahem, then the aver stands its own. It is absolutely, rooted in the ground.
That's
and the nafkamina is going to be, would Karka Olam, would Shevi Al Tase be a mitigating factor? If you're telling me that it's one nefesh against the other, I have my v'chaibahem, but I have to worry about his v'chaibahem. Ichtut gomsht, I'm not doing anything. I'm just watching passive. That's called Karka Olam. And that's going to be the Shita Satosis. But if on the other hand, what the Torah is saying is that since you have two v'chaibahems, then one v'chaibahem cancels the other v'chaibahem, then you're left with Lo Sirtzach. Just like in the case of Avodah Zarah, if you have v'chaibim against the avodah zarah, there's no v'chaibim, because the Torah says afilu notos nafshecha. That's how important it is to be adherent to avodah zarah. In the middle, what difference does it make when I'm kubla seva shevi altas, and the whole svar of karkola falls apart? Again, as long as there's an avera of avodah zarah, I don't know. I don't know if I can come up with a case of avodah zarah which is shevi altas. But if lo yitzur, I could in the theoretical conceptual world, then ein chinami, the halacha would be I have to give it my life. It doesn't matter with this kubla seva shevi altas, because with regard to this avodah zarah, if I violate this avera, where's the v'chaibim to be matir? Comes along Reb Chaim in his second side, and he suggests that in the case of lo sirtach, the upshot of my chazis is that there's no v'chaibim to be matir the
isuritzicha. What about in a case of
the male even b'shevi altas, so you'd have to give him your life.
In case of ritzicha, if he's not forcing you to do anything, okay, he's there. If you see somebody about to shoot somebody,
you see, Alan, the trouble is you're getting too involved in the cases and
no,
the scenarios. It's just going to derail you. If you want to understand this, Reb Chaim, you have to really leave out all cases, all situations. Don't talk about Reuven. Don't talk about Shimon. Just talk about the following issue. What are we saying about Lo Sirtach? There are two ways of understanding what's happening over here in my closes. One way is to say that the Torah was matir every avera, including Lo Sirtach, for the sake of saving a nefesh. However, I don't know how to apply that in the case where there's another nefesh at stake. So I have shtei nefesh shkulos, and the upshot of all that is what? Shevi altas, and do nothing. The other way of understanding it is that no, v'chai bohem doesn't apply at all in the case of Ritzicha, since I can't apply it, and I don't know how to judge one v'chai bohem or the other, so throw overboard both v'chai bohems, and you're left with the aver of Ritzicha even without the matir of v'chai bohem. Where do we have a precedent for such a case where you're left with an aver without v'chai bohem? Avodah Zorah becomes my paradigm. And now what I'm doing is I'm subsuming Lo Sirtach under the category of Avodah Zorah, that just like in Avodah Zorah there's no V'chaibahem, so to Lo Sirtach there's no V'chaibahem. If there's no V'chaibahem, it makes no bit of a difference whether you're active or you're passive. There's only one question you have to answer. Did you violate Ritzicha or did you not violate Ritzicha? Reb Chaim claims that being thrown on a Tinoch is not a violation of Ritzicha. He's the Rotzech, you're the Evan. But let's take the Chazanish case, whether he walks over to the edge of the roof or he was at the edge of the roof, that's a debate that Sam and I are going to have. But whatever the case is in the Chazon Ish, that's called Ritzicha B'Shevi Al Taseh. Says Reb Chaim, I don't know what the din is in that case. Tosus would claim that the din in that case is allow yourself to kill the baby and violate the Isur Ritzicha. Aye, what about V'Chai Bohem? Okay, his v'chai b'hem, the baby's v'chai b'hem, my v'chai b'hem. So go make a determination. I can't make a determination. Mom's the word. I just stand there like a doofus head and I do nothing. That's called karka ol. Says Reb Chaim, that's not how the Rambam understood. The Rambam had a different understanding. The Rambam understood that the halacha of my chazis is a negation, or shall I say, an invalidation of v'chai bohem. You cannot apply v'chai bohem when there's someone else's life involved, and therefore the two v'chai bohems neutralize each other. It's like, remember we once had here a few months ago a question about trey. What do we do with trey? The two Adam said this, and two of them said the opposite. So the two ways of understanding. One way is to say we have to believe both Adam. They're both correct, but we don't know what to do. The other way of saying is that no, we throw out both pairs of Avim. So that's where Reb Chaim is applying here the civil structure. He's saying, what do you do with these two contradictory V'chai Bohems in the case of my chazis? One way is to say, okay, I don't know, this is V'chai Bohem and this is V'chai Bohem. I have to validate both V'chai Bohems. And I'm in a very paradoxical situation. So what do? Do nothing. That's called Karko.
I just don't understand.
The other way of understanding is that no, that one v'chai bohem kills the other v'chai bohem, and there's no way you can apply v'chai bohem in this case, and then may I go back to square one. Like, for example, Tosfos says in Masech the Sanhedrin that a guy has to give up his life for any one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Right. Why? Because he doesn't have v'chai bohem. In other words, every Avera means that you have to give up your life. That's the Torah, the God commands, the divine command that you got to be willing to give up your life. Unless There's a mark there, a docha. And what's the docha? V'chaibah. So Tosaf points out, with regard to a guy, there's no v'chaibah him. The Torah said v'chaibah him to a Jew and not to a guy. For whatever philosophical reasons you want to give, that's not our business. And therefore Tosaf says, if somebody puts a head to a gun to the head of a guy and asks him to violate any of the Sheva Mitzvah at all, he'd have to give up his life rather than violate. And Tosis goes back and forth on this point, but anyway, that's one Svarin Tosis. Why? Because if there's no Vachaibah, if the male of the Avera is unviolable, unviolatable, right? And here, Vachaibah is saying that if you cannot apply Vachaibah in the case of Ritzicha, because my causes, I don't know which Vachaibah wins out over here, so throw out the Vachaibah. And if you throw out the Vachaibah, you're left with what? The Avera of Ritzicha. And it makes no difference whether you could by say a Shevi Alcesis.
Thank you. Just for background, isn't there a case in the Gemara where if you're out in the desert and you have water and you're someone that's with
you? Oh, wow. That's what David, you could have written the next piece of Reb Chaim.
The din is you drink water to save yourself.
Well, no, goes further.
So David, if you don't mind, I'll just read the Reb Chaim to you. The Reb Chaim says the following. He says, let me just get my place here, I'm sorry. He says, "Vinira de Kainhu, Kapirish Hasheni." I'm going to prove to you, this is the godless of Reb Chaim. After you get his toot started, then he says, "I'm going to prove which one of the two is correct." He says, "The Isav above Metzia Daf Samach Beis Shnayim Shoyim Halchim B'Derech Ubiad Echamem Kiton Shal Mayim." So what do? You drink the water yourself. Oh. Now, what kind of ritzicha would you be violating by drinking the water? Before Rabbi Akiva quotes the pasuk, we don't have that pasuk. So chas v'shalom for you to drink the water because he's going to die as a result. What kind of ritzicha is that?
It's passive.
He says, "Afal gav da hosim havi b'shev v'altas." Mikolakom tzrichim lekra. Rabbi Kiva needs a special gzeres hakosuv. A yalfusa de v'cheyachi chayim or chayecha kolmi. Shmamina. You see very clearly that beritzicha. And if there was no special pasuk here, is b'chol inyan yehar kal yafar. Af b'shev v'altas. The guy is going to drop dead of Nebuch of thirst, but it's not because of me. I mean, maybe it is because of me, because I drank the water, but you can't say that I shot him through the head. I didn't kill him. So it's below COVID, my son. Yet without the pasuk, I would be violating Ritzicha B'Shem V'Altas. Says Reb Chaim, you see that the second side of now Chakir is correct. Namely, that in the case of Losirtsov, there is no such thing as Vachai Bohem. Forget about Vachai Bohem. It doesn't operate, and therefore I'm back to the Averis Halav. And if I don't have the Makhtir, the Docha Vachai Bohem, then there's no way under the sun, even if I'm passive, that I could violate that Avera. And Reb Chaim wants to say, what's Taich in the Xeris HaKosim? What is the Torah being Machai of me, being Machadish to me, that this is not called Ritzicha? This is only Hatzolah. And he says, with regard to Hatzolah, the Torah tells me that I don't have to save his life at the expense of my life, and therefore, Chayecha Kod Min B'dinei Hatzolah. But if it was Dinei Ritzicha, then Enochinami, I would not be allowed to violate Ritzicha, even though I'm passive, and he's going to die. This Reb Chaim, he's digging it in. He's waving his flag. He claims he's successful. Again, the Chazon Ish is not so convinced. But Reb Chaim says, "Lefi zeh shapir posak haRambam dibarayos tehoreg val tavor." And Reb Chaim says the Rambam makes no distinction. Bechol gavni afilu bekarkola. The came of the gamber tzicha din came. The ain't on nidches mitnei pikuach nefesh, that the aver of tzicha does not lend itself to the dechia pikuach nefesh. Bechal gavni, meaning whether or not he's active or he's passive, whichever way, if he violates tzicha, there's no heter of pikuach nefesh on tzicha. For who adin la rayas the alfina mina the ain't but din dechia klal li olam. V'lachein al kein b'chol gavni tehorg v'al tavor af b'karka olam u'b'shev v'al.
So is he dead now? He's giving up on the fact that the ritzicha is equal to
Well, no, on the contrary. He's saying now to defend the Rambam that Ritzikah is like Avodah Zorah, and there's no Vachayimah him, and therefore, just like we said before, in the case of Ritzikah, you'd have to give him your life, even if it was a Shevi Alta said, if Lu Yitzuri came up with a case where you violate the law of Avodah Zorah passively, so too in the case of Ritzikah, and for that matter, in the case of Gilui Arayos, if you would violate those averos, even b'shevi al taseh, it would make no difference. There's no v'chaiba. There's no matir of v'chaiba. What do you say?
How do we help Esther out of her?
So you're going to have to assume in the case of Esther one of two things. Either she was not married to Mordechai, or bias akum lav shmei bia. In other words, the Rishonim ask, why the Gemara says in the case of Esther, for Esther Farhes Yahav, it nowhere says in the Gemara for Esther Gila Rayasav. So the Rishonim ask the question, why doesn't it say for Esther Gila Rayasav? So Tosis comes up with his thesis that it was posher to the Gemara never debated this, that Karka Olam would be a mitigating circumstance. We don't even have to spell that out. The Gemara wanted to know, but since she's Farhesya and it's Chil Hashem, who says that Karka Olam is going to be a mitigating circumstance, and that's going to be the Machlokas on Bayi for Rav. But it was never an issue of Gili Arayos. And there Karka Olam certainly would be operative. The other Rishonim say that the reason why the Gemara never raised the question of Esther Gilui Arayos because it wasn't Gilui Arayos. Now, why wasn't it Gilui Arayos? So then you have a two-pronged attack, either because she was not married to Mordechai, or because Zirma Susim Zirmasam, that Bias Akum Lav Shmei Bia. And in fact, that's the approach of the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says that Esther was not Gilui Arayos, therefore the Gemara never raised the question of Esther. And therefore, according to the Baal HaMor, Karka Olam is not going to help you in Gilui Arayos. Reb Chaim's chiddush was, number one, that I want to be medayik, says Reb Chaim from the Rambam, that the Rambam also maintained that same position. Otherwise, how could it be possible, and this is what the Chazon Ish tries to give an answer to this, which I can't begin to understand, how could it be possible that the Rambam didn't add a footnote over here? That in 50% of the cases of Gilui Arayos, you don't have to give up your life. That the Rambam doesn't say. The Rambam says that for Gilui Arayos, you have to give up your life. That's true in the case of a male. Highly unlikely in the case of a female, it's Karko. The Rambam doesn't mention a word. This is Reb Chaim's famous principle, which he starts his whole sefer with this principle, Stimas Lashon HaRambam, that the Rambam apparently makes no qualification there, and even in the case of a woman, she has to give up her life rather than submit herself to Gilui Arayos. Aishis Karka Olam. The answer is because there's no heter of a Chaimahem with regard to Gilui Arayos. And what's the source for that? There's no heter of a Chaimahem in Ritzicha. What's the source for that? My chazos. Because my chazis means that there is no pikuach nefesh, there is no v'chaimohem with regard to this avera. This avera climbs above v'chaimohem. Where do you find the source for an avera being more important than v'chaimohem? The Torah says v'chaimohem, I gave you the Torah to live by, not to die by. The answer is Avodah Zarah. Says Reb Chaim, if we're neutralizing the v'chaimohem, then the whole svar of Karka Olam falls apart. When is the svar of a Chaimahem meaningful? Says Reb Chaim, when you're talking about a situation where you have two V'chaimahems, both are active, both are valid, you cannot make a determination choosing one over the other, then we can say Karka Olam, you know what? Let destiny take its toll, and I'm not getting involved. I am passive. But if I hold that there's no V'chaimahem, then Reb Chaim insists that there's no way that we can apply the principle of Karko. Daniel? That's what I have.
If you walk past somebody that's drowning in the ocean, and then you know how to swim, you have a fear to go out and try to save him, don't you? Unless it's such a storm that you know you won't survive either.
Oh,
okay.
So now, what is this? Yes, somebody throws right. A lifeboat.
Right.
What's it called? That round thing. What's it called? A buoy? A lifesaver. We'll call it a lifesaver, right? Somebody throws a lifesaver. And you have the possibility of grabbing onto it. As a result, somebody else is going to perish. It's like the Titanic, kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And what do you do in such a case? So the Gemara in Masechta Bava Metzia records machlokas about this. A machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Petura. And Ben Petura is wild. And the Mepharshim for thousands of years are trying to rack their brains figuring them out. He says, let them both perish. Go figure that one out, right?
So the thumb shouldn't be on your hands.
And Rabbi Akiva says, no, I had a pasuk. It's mind-boggling. You know, Rabbi Akiva, without that pasuk,
you stop.
Would also not allow you, not permit you to grab onto the thing.
Of course.
It's mind-boggling. So Reb Chaim asks, call him Ritzicha. Okay, I'll grant you that if I grab onto this water before he gets a chance, that's called Lo Sirta. Let's lower his argument. I'll even go that far. But it's B'Shei V'Altas. What happened to my Bechaimah? And the Gemara's answer is that here, this is not Ritzicha, this is Atzol. That's how Rav Chaim touches up the Gemara. Then Rabbi Akiva's V'chai Achicha Ima is Chayecha Kov V'chai Chavercha. That's in Dini Atzola. I don't have to be Matzil you if I'm going to perish. So imagine a case where I could save your life and at the expense of my own life.
No.
I don't have to do that.
All right,
but can I do that? That's a machlokas to this day. Rav Cook, who was the chief rabbi of Palestine, he said that you're allowed to do that, that you can decide you want to give him your life. So the chayal's allowed to throw himself on the hand grenade and save his buddies. But he's not required to do so. That's halach in Dini Atzola, and that's a profound sugya unto itself. But as far as Ritzicha is concerned, the original position still remains. Namely, that you will not violate Ritzicha, even if it means your own life is gone, and even if you do so passively. Because if you assume, like Tosfos, that in the case of Ritzicha Bekarka Olam, what was Rabbi Akiva thinking? Why did Rabbi Akiva come up? And the Gemara uses the language on Shadarish Bar. It's like he reminds me of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. You know, is the Yitzis Mitzrayim Baleil, Shadarish Ben Zoma, Kol Yemei Chayev. Until Rabbi Akiva came along with this fantastic drasha of Achei Achicha Imach. Imach means he's secondary to you, but Chayecha Kol, and Imach is always considered secondary. Till Rabbi Akiva came to unravel, you know, to, how do we say it, an art exhibit, you know, when they show you the piece of art, but to unveil. Yeah. Till he unveiled this drasha, we thought you have to give up your life, let him drink the water, or I don't know, split the water, spill the water, I don't know what you do with the water, but you can't drink the water. Why not? Call it Ritzicha, the most serious, severe aver in the world. But I did it B'Shei V'Altas. You can't tell me I killed him. It's an interesting proof of Reb Chaim. It forces you to rethink, you know, your first premises. You know,
it's not Shei V'Altas. You did something. You drank.
Yeah, but you can't call that Ritzicha.
No, I didn't say Ritzicha, but don't call it Shev Altas.
No, it is Shev Altas, because...
As far as Ritzicha, it's Shev Altas. Yeah, relative to Ritzicha, it's Shev Altas.
Oh, but contrasted...
I'm just drinking the water, that's all.
Contrasted to the guy who's being shot out of the cannon and knocked off. That guy is Shev Altas for real.
Yeah, but you're talking about...
He climbed into the cannon.
No, that would be called a miser.
Look, Rav Osa, if you take Sam's position or you take our position, you still left with Rav Chaim's
Not me.
I'm saying, Sam, listen carefully. I don't care if it's Rav Ashari or even if it's Rav Weiss. It doesn't make any difference.
Rav Weiss says Mapatura was a Christian.
But no, the other side.
I just wanted to make one point here. Look, you can go one way or the other. You can either say that drinking the water that you have is not Ritzicha at all, or you could say it's Ritzicha, but it's certainly Ritzicha B'Shei V'Altas. At the worst, even if somehow under the sky you're gonna convince me, you know, you're gonna flash lights in my eyes in the middle of the night and convince me that this is called Ritzicha, it's certainly passive Ritzicha. I did not actively kill the guy. I drank water. What was the hava mina that therefore I would have to give up my life? The answer could only be that somewhere within the realm of Ritzicha there's no pikuach nefesh. The Torah never said b'chaybahem. This is not what the Torah had in mind by b'chaybahem. That this guy is going to gestorben. He's going to die at your expense. You know, because you want to drink the water.
There is passive. If the water belonged to him and I stole it from him, and that would be
that's interesting. Wait, that might be Ritzicha.
Since when does ownership matter?
It does because you are mice, you did a mice actively that stopped him from. But I wanted to ask.
I see that we ran out of time. Yeah. This was meant to be the first third of my shift.
I just want to ask. I can't agree. Okay. The one thing is I don't still understand that Sue Avoda Zara, because if you walk past the guy drowning in the ocean, you're supposed to go and save him. Right. If you're walking past somebody that's being over in a Hodazara, are you required to jump in there and save him from
I don't know, that's a Sugin Sanhedrin about whether he's a Rodef or not. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not.